Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hey there, everyone. It's Stormy Warren welcoming you on the bus at Country Thunder with executive producer Troy Vollhoffer. Coming to you from Music City, we can't wait to chat with all of our friends in country music. Get ready for real talk about the state of the music industry, thoughts and insights from some of its biggest stars, and more than a few backstage stories from the 6 annual Country Thunder events held all across North America. I know I'll be sharing some great stories in a future episode. So buckle up and get ready for your new favorite podcast. Here's Troy.
I have our first guest, one of my best friends in the whole world, and probably one of the greatest entertainers of all time, Big Kenny from Big and Rich.
How are you, brother? I'm feeling the Country Thunder on the bus.
I love it.
I'm telling you, man, just sitting here now, that just brings back just some of the best memories in the world, sitting on your bus, you know, before the Country Thunders, before going on stage, man. That's just always one of the most exciting things, is pulling into a Country Thunder somewhere and then going, you know, well, let me know where Troy's bus is. We'll meet up over there in a little bit. And you'd be calling me up or something as we're rolling in saying, hey, you got to come by. Those are just some tremendous festivals. I mean, they're always just so fun. The crowds are huge. And everybody's, you know, has such a joyful heart to them. And everybody's there to have fun. And you know, we just get lit up when we see those people and all those fans out there. And you just want to give them every bit of you.
Let's go back to how you ended up in Nashville in the first place. What were you doing before you were an artist?
Well, I'm a farm boy from Culpeper, Virginia. Yep. So I was farming there with my father. I was, helping keeping everything going, and we're cattle farmers there in Virginia, and you know, anything you can raise and try to sustain your farm. We've pretty much done it over the years. It's been in my family for generations and generations. And construction. I did construction back there. So what led me to Nashville in 1994 is, the construction industry had pretty much just gone to hell in a handbasket at that point in time. We've been through a terrible recession. All the banks had shut down and it had just pretty much dried up the construction industry. But I was still out there working. And me and some of my buddies, we'd stop between jobs, grab a bite at a little pub one day. And there was a guy in there with a guitar singing. And he said he was going to take a break and ask if someone else would like to get up and sing a couple songs. And my buddy's like, Kenny will do it. So I got up and sang a song, and I went to sit back down, and then a dude comes up and taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, man, you sing pretty good. You want to be in a band? And I went, well, kind of always thought about it in the back of my head, but, you know, never really. So next thing you know, I stopped on the side of the road, bought myself a guitar, and was in a band.
Wow.
And so that was about 2 years before I actually came to Nashville. And when I came to Nashville, it was really at the encouragement of all my friends. You know, I'd started playing in a band. I was always singing on a job or whistling on a job, and everybody's always going, Kenny, you ought to go to Nashville. Actually, I remember the day a carpenter, I'm there framing this wall, and this carpenter buddy of mine, he hears me singing to the radio, and he goes, Kenny, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go to Nashville. You know, I hear they pay people to make music down there. And I remember standing up and setting my 26-ounce Estwing checker face framing hammer down on a sawhorse and looking at him going, you've got to be kidding me. They do. And, well, that next year I decided I was going to, you know, arrange everything where I could come down to Nashville and see what it was about. And so I packed my vehicle up and came down here the summer of 1994. Wow. And stayed in a Days Inn right there on West End Avenue for about a month until I found an apartment. And I just remember going into all these little juke joints and there being songwriters there every night of the week and just being blown away by the amount of talent that I was seeing everywhere that I went. I was just so inspired by it. I'd never seen anything like this in my entire life. I was in Music City, USA, and I'd come to realize why it was named Music City. I mean, everybody that has talent all over the country and all over the world comes here. They all gather here in Music City. So it's really like an epicenter of the best. It challenges you and inspires you. It pushes you. It moves you. It motivates you to want to become great at making music. And then, so that's what I did, man. I would get up every day and write songs. You know, I was meeting people every night, being out and making new friends, and I was writing every day. And with being here, after being here about 3 months, I had a band together, and I was playing 3-4 nights a week.
Now, was that Lovejoy?
No, that was just beginning.
Beginning.
It was just beginning. Next thing you know, after being here a year in 1995, I got a publishing deal. I got signed by Famous Music. Pat Finch at Famous Music signed me. That deal lasted for 3 years. Right around the end of that deal, I had been going in the studio all the time.
So that gave you some income to live off.
Yeah, it gave me some.
So you weren't starving then.
Sustained myself.
Right.
I was able to survive.
Yeah.
And the end of that, 1998, I was playing a Nashville extravaganza on a Friday night with my band at Exit Inn. And that Monday, I got two phone calls, one from Jason Flom at Live Atlantic in New York and one from Rob Seiderberg from Hollywood Records in L.A., and both of them had either seen me or heard of me from the A&R person from that show in Nashville, and were offering me a record deals. One of them wanted to fly me to New York, the other one wanted to fly me to L.A.
Jesus.
So that was my first record deal. That was around the time that I met John.
Now, that was Big Kenny?
That was Big Kenny.
Yep.
That was Big Kenny. That was around the time I met John, and we started writing together, and that year, 1999, we got him. He had just, you know, left Lone Star when I met him, and so we were working on getting him a record deal, too. Next thing you know, we got him a record deal on RCA, B&A, so he had a solo album.
So John had also a solo record, you had a solo record, but you're writing together, but
we were
you
writing
were
together.
Not yet Big and Rich.
No, we were just writing this
right.
Big and Rich. But neither one of those records deals worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're continuing to write as Big and Rich. And then at that same time, I had put this band together. I'd really gotten to find some of the best players in the world when I was doing the Big Kenny record. And, so I started working this 4-piece band project called Lovejoy. And when we made a couple records, that's when I met Adam Schoenfeld.
Great guitar player. Probably one of the hottest guitar players in town, playing with Tim McGraw now. I mean, amazing talent on his own.
Amazing,
right?
Talented guitar player.
A force.
And, you know, is out with Tim now and has several projects of his own also. Yeah.
His rock project's amazing.
Yeah.
Bad Brains.
Yeah. Digital Brains.
Digital Brains.
Digital Brains.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Check that out on your Spotify. Digital Brains. It's a really great rock record. It's a 3-piece band. Adam Schoenfeld fronts it, and it's all original music. It's really neat. It's a diversion from country, but it's a great rock record.
Yeah, yeah. So we all met up, and then that was around the time we started doing the Music Mafias. You know, one thing leads into another. Next thing you know, Lovejoy, we were playing regionally at that point. So like 12th and Porter here, or Knoxville, or Atlanta, you know, we were touring all around, and had developed a really great following here in Nashville. And whenever we would play here, I'd always have, you know, a bunch of my friends come and get on stage with us. You know, Max on sax would come get on us, who now plays with the Mavericks, as we were discussing earlier. John would come, and you know, he would get up and play a couple country songs before we would play, and you know, it just turned into a jam that kind of led
us. I saw Martina McBride one night play with the Mafia when the Mafia was formed.
So that kind of led us to doing the Mafias. Right. We started doing every Tuesday night across the street from 12th and Porter at the Pub of Love, and those Mafias, really, that's when we decided, since you know all of us were kind of doing different kinds of music, we just wanted a place where everybody could gather and we could share our new songs, whatever they were, whether you were writing rock or country or blues or soul, as you know King Nicholson, John Nicholson was doing at that time. Or so we'd all get together and play every Tuesday night at the Pub of Love. And those just, you know, started out the first week, you know, we called up friends and it was about 12 of us there. The next week it was like 24. The next week it's like, we just kept growing and growing and growing until we had to bust out a wall in the back of the room. Then we had to move to another venue. And the Music Mafias is really kind of what just blew it all up for all of us. It happened so organically that, you know, next thing you know, everybody's getting offered record deals. So John and I got a record deal from that as Big and Rich. Gretchen Wilson got signed from that.
And Gretchen was one of the original Mafia members, right?
Yeah, she was the first female that we brought her in as a godmother of the music.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic.
And, you know, Cowboy Troy, James Otto, Shannon Lawson, Damien Horn. I mean, just countless badasses, really.
Great. I mean, the talent. I mean, Damien Horn. I mean, the most underrated guy in town in Nashville. I think Damien.
He's such a nice dude.
But he's so talented.
Oh, golly.
You know, he can sing super any format, and such a beautiful guy. Just a beautiful man. Yeah,
wonderful human being.
So Big and Rich start. Big and Rich get a record deal.
Next thing you know, from those Music Mafias, we had Paul Worley, his daughter Ashley, was one of the first people that ever came to Music Mafia.
Oh, wow.
And at that point in time, she was working in the publishing industry, so her father had just taken over the head of A&R at Warner Brothers. That year, I guess that was 2002, 2003. And she told us he wanted to have a meeting with us. So a Wednesday morning after a Tuesday night Mafia, we showed up with our guitars at Paul Willey's office at Warner Brothers.
So how'd that feel going in there, you know, knowing that this is our real shot.
We were pretty hungover from the night before, but it felt pretty good just going in there. We thought we were going there to play him some songs. Like, we thought we were pitching songs for one of the artists that he was producing.
So you were going in there as a writer, not
as an
act.
Yeah, we thought he was interested in one of our songs. Right. So, you know, at that point in time, he was producing Faith, he was producing Martina, producing most every big act in Nashville at that point.
Big name.
Yeah, so we play a couple songs, and he goes, "Those are really good. You know, y'all write those?" Yeah. Well, play me a couple more. We play him a couple more songs. Next thing you know, he stands up and he slaps his hand on his desk and says, "I want to do this." And we look at him and go, "You want to do what?" He says, "I want y'all to be the first act that I sign here at Warner Brothers Records." And John and I looked at each other and go, "Well, I guess you're going to have to call our manager." Because the weekend before, we had gotten a call from Mark Oswald and Dale Morris. They were out actually riding on Dale's motorboat across Old Hickory Lake, and Mark was playing him a demo we'd just done. He was listening to Holy Water. Yep. And Dale goes, Mark says, "Hey, boys, I got Dale Morris here on the phone. He wants to talk to y'all." And you could hear the song, you know, blinging in the background. He goes, "Hey, boys, this is Dale Morris. Mark's playing me some of these demos y'all have been cutting, and I just wanted to let you know, if y'all want to keep making some music like this, I'd like to talk to you about a management deal." So kind of crazy, you know, there within a week or two's time, you know, we get someone that offers to help us out, manages, and then you know, someone that offers to give us a record deal.
Just to give you a little info on Dale Morris. Dale Morris was the man single-handedly who basically took Alabama to the top of the charts and took them to a different level in their career, to superstardom status, and also was the creator of Kenny Chesney's career and took him to another level. And Big and Rich, I mean, he's a very prolific manager, and Greg's done an amazing job with you, right?
Yeah, Greg Oswald, who Greg's our agent at William Morris Endeavor,
and Mark Oswald's your manager.
Yeah, Mark's our manager. Yeah. And they're brothers, and it just so happens one's in the management business, one's in the agency business, and they've really, those two have been the powerhouse of our career. They're the ones that, you know, helped us in every way imaginable, and you know, kept us out there working and touring across the U.S. and the world.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So you get the record deal.
Yeah.
So this is, what year is this?
That was 2003.
So we met in 2004 on Tim McGraw, and that was your first major tour, correct?
Yeah.
And I remember it. And I believe your lovely wife, Khrushchev, was your stylist.
Yes.
And I was out there pre-production because we did Tim McGraw. And the thing that really, there's two moments that were kind of hit me, was the first night we were in Virginia Beach where we kicked off the tour. We had an amazing storm. And Tim had that party, and he had those martini glasses.
Yeah.
That were...
he had the bar built right there off the side
exactly,
of the stage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And we had that opening night, and the opening night rehearsal, and it got canceled because of the big storm. Mm-hmm. And then the next night, the opening night... you had the painter on stage.
Yeah,
and
Rachel.
And I'm kind of like, I don't quite understand yet. I didn't really get it, you know? And then you guys, halfway through your set, I was like, who are these guys? I mean, I was blown away because it was, I mean, we talk about the changing of elements of music and stuff and bro country and all of this stuff that's happened over the course of time. No one had ever heard what you guys were performing. I mean, when you came on stage, it was like a freaking tidal wave, and it was different, and it was totally original, and it was a different vibe. And I mean, I, you know, how Eddie Van Halen changed guitar in rock and roll. I think you guys changed country music. I know you did.
Thanks.
Because there was nothing before that that sounded like what you brought to the table.
Yeah.
And it's changed. It's re-revolutionized country music. And I mean, you're the godfather of this sound, of this new sound.
Yeah, a bona fide mix of music without prejudice, really.
Correct.
Under the auspice of country music, because I guess we're all country boys, but we love to rock.
Oh.
And, you know, we love elements of hip-hop, and we loved elements of blues and soul and everything else, and loved having our friends on stage with us, and
so how did Troy and
circus.
How did Troy and Fred come into the act? Like, How did you find Troy, Cowboy Troy, and 2 Foot Fred? Like, how did that come to fruition?
Well, I kind of brought the Mafia, or brought Lovejoy, which was our band at that point in time. That ended up being the band that's playing with Big and Rich as we came out. You know, Adam, the Atomic guitar player, Schoenfeld, we were talking about. And John had met Troy when he was in Lone Star and had kept in touch with him and had introduced him to me. And I thought he was just fantastic. We had, you know, one of our road trips back when we were just writing songs down to Texas, I met Troy down there, and then I invited him to come up and get on stage, you know, with us. As you know, we would get him on stage with Lovejoy. Then he started coming to Mafias when he could. And then the same thing with 2 Foot Fred. John knew 2 Foot Fred. He'd met him at a fanfare one summer.
Yeah, because Fred was a fan, right?
Fred was a fan, but he was a friend with a big personality.
Yes.
So we just knew that he was such a character. When we shot the video for Horse of a Different Color, for Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, off of that album, that we wanted to have him in the video. So he called him up and said, "Hey, Fred, you want to be in a video?" And he was, "Yeah, I'll do that." Next thing you know, Fred's in a video. Then next thing you know, 2 Foot Fred's on the road with Big and Rich. And whew, talking about some crazy times.
You know, it was funny because it would have been quite a few years ago, but I walk into Kenny's garage and he has this thing. It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah.
And I know you're a craftsman and you're really good with your hands and you're a welder and a carpenter and you've been blessed with that gift. And I walk into your garage and I'm like, what's the spaceship for? And I'm there with a friend of mine, and Kenny's not out yet, and we're kind of contemplating what this thing is and wondering what the hell this is. And you never know what you find. I mean, the University of Creativity is an interesting place. I mean, you never know what you can find in the studio. Your artwork's amazing. Anyways, I look at this thing. Kenny comes and goes, I built that spaceship for Fred. He's going to drive it around stage. I thought it was absolutely the most unique idea in the world.
I've walked right through my shoes, just a small reminder of the hell that I've gone through. But look at me still smiling, cause I'm wondering what I'll do. Since I ain't got nothing, I got nothing.
Well, I actually wrote that in 2002. It was New Year's of 2002. And at that point in time, I was in between record deals. So had that first record deal, it didn't necessarily work out. And anyway, Mark Oswald, who was producing the first farewell tour for Alabama in Vegas, and invited me and John to come out there and to see this Ignite extravaganza that he was going to be shooting. So we did. And then that night after the show, had a big party, you know, up in a suite, looking down over all the people celebrating New Year's Eve in Vegas. I was, you know, top of the world, but you know, being between record deals, that means I was broke. And I went out there with a couple $100 in my pocket. And after trying to feed myself for a couple of days, I didn't have that much left. And I knew I was going to be coming home. It was going to be the first of the month, and I was going to pay my bills. So I decided I'd go down to a blackjack table at about 2 a.m. in the morning and see if I could figure out how to make enough money to pay my bills. And I took, I don't know, the $50 I had left and ran it up to $800 on a blackjack table. It's now 5 a.m. in the morning, and I've got like a 8 o'clock flight. So I'm thinking I need to go ahead and get this done here and go up and get my stuff together to catch my flight. And I had won 10 hands in a row. So I'm thinking,
so you're on a roll.
This is the time, man. I'm on a roll. How can I just one more? This has got to be it. And if I double this one more time, I'm going to cover everything I need and come home to be fine. So I push it out there. The dealer deals one more hand, and damned if she didn't jar herself a blackjack. I had a $20 chip and a $1 chip left. I gave the dealer the $20 chip, and I kept the $1, and I pushed myself away from the table and said, "Thank you so much. You've been a blast to play with. I'm gonna keep this because I might need a little something to start over with." And I went up to my room and sat down on the edge of the bed and went to pull my boots off, and the heel come off the bottom of my boot. So I laid back on the bed and I said, "What next, Lord?" And within about 30 minutes, that song hit me. I'm down to my last dollar. I've walked right into my shoes, a friendly small reminder of all the hell that I've gone through. Look at me still smiling because I'm wondering what I'll do. Because since I ain't got nothing, I got nothing to lose. And one, two, three, like a bird I sing. Because you've given me such a beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're all here today because tomorrow I might have to go and fly away, fly away, fly away. So that's where that song came from.
Fantastic
yeah.
song.
And then being out on tour with Tim in 2004, when I came back in off a tour that year, I was actually able to pay off my credit card. So I went back in the studio, and that was one of the songs I recorded. We were recording there at Blackbird, and Tim was recording his next album in Blackbird. So he came by and you know, heard the song. And next thing you know, he's going, "You're going to let me cut that, right?" So lo and behold, who was I to say no? I mean, yes, you can cut it. Of course, you're Tim McGraw. By God, cut it.
He went, cuts. Went the to song. Number one, right?
Yeah, went to number one in 2007. It went to number one because he cut the record, and then his label wouldn't let him put the record out. Remember, they were trying to keep him on.
That was Curb. Right?
They were trying. Yeah, they were trying to keep him there, so they made him put out some hits albums. Yep. And finally, in 2007, he gets to put that album out. And it chose that as the first single off the album and went to number one.
Great song. Congratulations on that. Because I love that song.
I do too.
And
oh, golly.
You should. And it's a great story. And but going back to 2004 and a tour party.
Tim gave us some motorcycles.
Tim gives
Big and
Rich.
Brothers.
Yeah, Big and Rich and the Warren Brothers motorcycles. And Kenny's doing
like death sentences,
doing
right?
a burnout in backstage at this gig. You know, outside the venue, and I was like, McGraw gave those to you, and it was amazing. And then after the show, we had this great party that was fantastic. And you know, Kenny used to like to bake cookies, and I remember walking in, and Kenny goes, "Hey, man, Troy, you got to try with my cookies." And I'm like, "All right." So I didn't really understand, and so I take my friend says, "No, you take half of that cookie. Don't eat the whole thing." So I took a half of it, and I wanted to have more because they were delicious. They were chocolate chip cookies. They're fantastic,
absolutely delicious.
And before you know it, I look over and I see my friend. Next Ricky Kelly, you know. Who's a motorcycle dealer to all of the stars in Nashville, he falls over on his chair. And I'm like, what the hell?
It was fantastic. Laughing uncontrollably. Dum da da dum da da dum da da dum da 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 dum da da dum da da dum da da dum da 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 da.
Now that's a staple. That song's a staple. That song will never go away. That's part of country music history. How did that song come about?
Save Horse, Ride a Cowboy. That would have been another one of those crazy things that happened for me that summer, but in 2002. Also, Mark did this. He was doing this program for MasterCard called Priceless Edge. He ran a lot of like corporate programs back then. And, in that program, they did an essay contest around the world, had 30,000 college-age students from all over the world enter this essay contest about why they wanted to be in the music business or something like that. And anyway, 50 of them were chosen to come to Nashville for 30 days and be given a complete behind-the-scenes look at the music business. And one part of that was sit down with me and write songs, go in the studio and record songs, and then go on stage and perform them. So Mark, having put this thing together, comes to me and says, "Hey, Kenny, can you handle this part for me?" And I'm like, "Sure." He goes, "Yeah, and I can pay you too." And I'm like, "Great, I'll be able to cover my bills for another month." So in doing that, these 50 kids, I broke them up into groups of 10 and wrote a song or so with each of them. And in one of those song sessions, I remember, I'd always go around the room and ask them all their names, try to remember the names. And in this one group, I asked, "Is anything happened to anyone crazy since you've been here already? Have you heard anything crazy?" I mean, sometimes you can just start a song from a title. And this one girl raises her hand and says, "We actually went into the Wild Horse Saloon, and this cowboy came up to me. I couldn't believe. He said, 'Hey, baby, darling, would you like to save a horse and ride a cowboy?'" I had invited John to come in and write with me on that session, and we looked at each other and went, "There you go. There's our song." We wrote it. And, you know, it's crazy. Two of our biggest hits came out of those writing sessions.
Wow.
Another one, went in there and asked them all where they were from and realized, you know, it was 10 different cities, 10 different towns across America. And I had this title, you know, being that here we are, you know, in the music industry here, we're writers there in Nashville. And the thing we want to do is get out of this town and go to every other city around the world and play our music to them. And I said, you know, I've got this title I've been wanting to write called We're Coming to Your City. And why don't we're going to try to put every one of your towns in that this song. And so that's what we did. We wrote Coming to Your City and put every one of their towns in that song. And then it's been now going on over a decade of the theme song for college game day football.
To your city, we're gonna
play our guitars and sing you a country song. Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was getting ready to go into one of our biggest years of touring. 2020 was set to break records for us.
Yeah.
And then this epidemic hit, and everything has got moved forward. Yep. So now 2021 is going to be one of our biggest years ever. You know, we're all thinking extremely positive at this point that we're about at the end of this thing, that we can see light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, we're real close to having a vaccine out there, and we think going into next year, everybody's going to have access to it. There are therapeutics and medicines out there right now that can pretty much heal people up from it if they don't have the vaccine, right, and they should get it. So, you know, what I'm feeling out there is there's a lot of people that are feeling like they want to get out and hear some live music. I mean, as soon as they safely can. I mean, everybody's just, we're dying to play, and the fans are dying to hear the music, get back to living it up in the free world again.
There's nothing that replaces the live experience.
Nothing.
And I'm missing it so much. I mean, I haven't seen a live show in so long. You know, it's kind of undaunting because, I mean, this is probably the longest spell I've ever gone in my entire life. In saying that, I'm ready to get back out there. But, you know, we're going to go out, and it looks like we're going to do stuff, you know, and hopefully have a Country Thunder in Florida in March. And we're going to do this in a very responsible way with all, you know, all CDC protocol. And
yep.
And hopefully some of these therapeutics pass the FDA, and we're in a great place. And I think it's going to happen. I mean, all indications are it is, and maybe I'm a little premature to be that positive, but I don't think I am.
I don't think so either, man. I'm feeling that positive. That's kind of the way we're looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, all of our dates, our schedule has just continually been moved forward. Everybody's trying to do the right thing and the smart thing and the safe thing for everyone. But, you know, I think at this point we can look forward and see that it can be that kind of reality the beginning of this coming year, so that we're all going to be able to get back out there.
So in 2021, do we have some new singles coming out with Big and Rich? Is there going to be some new stuff on Spotify that we'll be able to check out? Where are you with that?
Yeah. We're actually, I was talking to Charlie coming over here about a song that we've just recorded that just kind of seems right for the times right now. And we're talking about, you know, what our game plan is to get that out. And that's something we're looking at putting out this fall. And then, you know, we're going to just kind of continually just put out creativity, you know, just kind of keep it flowing. But there's a song called Center of the Universe. And I just like what it says and about our times, and It's just a little blue ball on a big black sky, and I don't know why everybody doesn't understand. All we really got to do is love our fellow man, got to put to rest this crazy mess, forgive and forget, never, never, ever be afraid. Yay. Just want to hear everybody say, we all want to free fall into the disco ball, standing together at the vortex of the center of the universe. Yeah, which is kind of what we all want to do right now. We all want to free fall under the disco ball, standing together at the vortex of the center of the universe. Because all this love is pleasing to the ears. It is relieving all the fears. It is a hope. It is a chance. You're all invited to the dance. The party's cool. People smile. We'll recollect and chat a while about this new extreme we found. At the vortex of the center of the universe. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love it. For me, it excites me. You know, for the legacy of your career as an artist, new music is exciting. And, you know, the world has changed in recording. You know, there's a lot of artists that, are on independent labels. And it's, how do you feel about the trend in regards to giving artists now? I mean, if you were an artist 20 years ago and didn't have a record deal, you would have no success as an artist starting out.
Yeah.
Not an established artist, an artist starting out with not a record deal. There was no way you would have a chance to be able to get your music across to the masses. Now we have all these outlets.
Yeah.
Now we have opportunity for, indie artists who are coming out making great music and actually getting great followers.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Hey, Old Town Road last year, that was completely, a kid got that song started on social media himself. It blew up just by, you know, a chance of the right thing happening at the right time. And you know, one thing led to another. And next thing you know, he's got a hit song on TikTok. And then he just kind of, you know, jokingly reaches out and goes, you know, they say this is not country. I want Billy Ray Cyrus to sing on it. Next thing you know, Billy Ray sees it and goes, well, heck, I'll sing on your song. And next thing you know, it blows up into being an eight, nine
biggest song of the year, I believe.
Yeah. Biggest song of the year.
It was massive.
So it just kind of shows to go you that anything's possible now. I mean, no doubt things are totally different than what it used to be in the ability to get music out to the masses. There is a distribution system now that is totally in effect, available to everyone no matter what. It doesn't have a barrier to entry that has a high cost that you can't get into, or I mean, you can record on a phone. Basically, you've got a nice computer there, you can record on that,
yeah.
But you don't have to have $1,000 a day studio. And as a promotion distribution, it used to be the only way you could get it out there was a physical distribution system that either was vinyl or cassettes or CDs or something. And it took a big machine like a Warner or a Sony or someone that had that sort of distribution system to get the music out there. It ain't like that anymore. Now, right. Anybody, we can sit here and make up a tune right now and go bang, you know,
right.
Play it on a TikTok it or Facebook it on a phone or,
right.
Or, and it is at least available to people. And if it's good enough, they're going to hear it. They're going to move it around.
And
our only problem is now we got so many doggone songs that you just can't hardly play them all during a live show.
One thing I really want to touch on, and I don't think you get enough credit for this, is your philanthropy. So, I've witnessed your philanthropy for years now. And, you know, there's one thing, you know, sticks out in my head that nobody really knows about. And it was never publicized properly. And, you know, you got that award from the Children's Choir of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honored enough to be invited to go to New York City with you for you to be presented with the award. John was there. It was such a touching moment because only George Bush, the President Bush, W, and Pope John Paul II were the only recipients of that award, and Big Kenny. And no one really knows about that. That was such a touching moment and such an amazing evening. Sold out at City Winery in New York City. And it was the Children's Choir of Africa and Big Kenny, and you were honored that night. And
yeah.
It was such a touching moment. I just want to ask you about that and the award itself. And you're always the first thing you talk about when we have an idea is how you can give back.
Yeah.
It's not like the normal people I sit down with who are like, it's a little different, right? It's yeah. always like, how do I get back?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what, man? I was just blown away, you know, to be there that night and to, you know, to be honored and to be able to, you know, shine a little more of a light on those kids. Because, you know, one of the things that happens when you have successes in your life is your visibility to things, you know, in your community and around the world. It's a, you know, the light gets shined on it a lot brighter. People gonna let you know about a lot more stuff. And you know, about that time in my world, you know, the early 2000s, once my career started to take off, one of the things that was made, you know, aware to me is that, you know, there's some kids that got it tough out there, you know, in our communities here and around the world. Yeah. And when I saw some of the things that I saw, some of the kind of atrocities that go on in places around the world, I just had to do something. And, you know, one of the things I decided to do was to try to, you know, to help give some of those that have been in the worst of situations at least an opportunity to have an education, you know, in places where they, you know, girls especially didn't even get to go to school. You know, girls were, you know, there's still places in the world right now where they consider them slaves, where they live in ways that you just wouldn't imagine. But, you know, I saw this opportunity to shine a little light and to bring some hope in places where hope didn't exist. And then when I met up with the children's choir, the African children's choir, I just saw them shine in such a great light. Like here, these kids, you know, come from some of the roughest situations, but yet their hearts are just so joyful, and they're given an opportunity to go make music and be ambassadors for what their capabilities are around the world. And they come play all over. They play all over the world, and they play all over America. And you know, I got to help them and help them build a bunch of schools and help them have opportunities. And you know, that I just to those given, much is expected. You know, and I firmly believe that. And there's just nothing better than that, to just being able to give somebody a hand up, or to be able to shine a light on the ones who are doing something, you know, really, really well and really great and really inspiring. And you know, today I got a text from my fifth grade teacher down in Florida, that's another one that I help. She has a project down there called Operation Heartfelt, and since 2010 we've been feeding right at 1,000 children in a backpack program down there. These are kids that right here in our communities in the good old U.S. of A that have, you know, ended up, you know, she realized an issue down there in 2010 that kids weren't learning because they were coming to school hungry, that yep. they weren't being sufficiently fed at home. They needed a little help to get them there. And so started this backpack program to make sure that they had food over the weekends, so when they came to school, they'd have a little something in their bellies. Operation Heartfelt. Felt stands for feeding empty little tummies. Something special. So, you know, there's just, you know, I was on the phone. Niles called me this morning. Niles Harris, who's was the inspiration for the song The 8th of November. You know, he was asking for my permission for another, you know, a benefit program we're looking at doing this year to continue to raise money for the 173rd Airborne, because we helped get the memorial built for the Airborne down there in Fort Benning, Georgia. And he's going, you know, as old guys, we got, you know, may have 10 more years in us, and, you know, we want to get out there and raise what we can. We got a good bit in the bank, but, you know, it costs a good bit to keep that place up every year. And these young guys, you know, they ain't quite got into, you know, what the responsibility is yet, so we want to make sure we do it. Anyway, Kenny, are you willing to help us out this year? And, I mean, how can you say no? You can't, because, you know, we have an obligation to help those who have helped all of us, you know, have gone out there and served for all of us. And, you know, I just think we as a country and as a community of music makers and creators, you know, we've been given this great gift, and And with that great gift, there's so much more that we get to do to carry it on and to continue the positivity out there. Not the negativity, the positivity everywhere. Right here in our communities, you know, be it across the street, be it across the river, be it in the next state, be it across the ocean in the next country. I want to make friends everywhere. That's the great ambassadorship of what music is. As you know, Premier Global, your company, has staged tours all over the world. You've worked and put on some of the greatest shows all over the world, not just the Country Thunders in the U.S. of A., but all over the world, in South America, in Europe, in Asia, and every country there is out there. I mean, you know how the power of music everywhere. You know, when we get together as music makers everywhere, anywhere, we get together as friends. Everybody comes there to celebrate and to jump up and down and to just love the moment and the music and to just cherish this life and feel the joy, man. Feel the joy. So, hallelujah. Can I get an amen now?
Amen. You know, I just got to say that you are probably one of the more unique persons in show business. And your passion for helping people and humanity is something that touches my heart. And I so appreciate you. And
thank you.
And
feeling's mutual, bro.
And I appreciate
you've always been there for me.
You know, and I just think that we just need a little more love in this world. And
hell yeah.
And I know that, you know, you've been preaching that for years. And I mean, honest to God.
Love everybody, man.
And
love
it
everybody.
Didn't really hit
Big
home.
Big guy said, love one exactly. another. Just love everybody. That's it. That's and all it, we got to do.
And it didn't really, you know, it really made a lot of sense this year. You know, I mean, the divide, you know, we all need to come together as a community and as countrymen and make this place a better place. It's the greatest Amen. Country in the world. And I Amen. Think that we can do it together. And Amen. With attitudes and people like you, this place will get better. I mean, Amen. America will become stronger and, you know, and we'll bond.
More unified. All of our energy towards and will go forth in a positive way, man. We have so much to be thankful for.
When music returns to where music should return to in the next year, you guys are going to go out and kick some serious butt. Yeah. And
future's bright, man.
Future is brighter than it's ever been, because we just took a year off of live music.
Yeah.
And that creates a demand. I believe it creates a demand.
Absolutely. And a lot of pent-up energy from the artists. You know, everybody's out there ready to go, and all the fans are ready to give it. So
everybody's ready to go. So where you can see Big and Rich is Country Thunder, Iowa, coming up. Big lineup. Big and Rich, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Morgan Wallen, Old Dominion.
Production. Old Dominion, man, they are tearing it up. They're rocking.
Oh, they're
right,
a great
man.
Band.
One man band that song this year, and Morgan's tearing it up right now.
I'm excited for Big and Rich. I think this is one of the coolest lineups we've got this year. It's very diverse. And Big and Rich will be a Country Thunder somewhere every year until they decide not to work. So it's going to be fantastic. And thank
God
you so much.
God bless you, and God bless Country Thunders.
And thank you for coming out.
Absolutely, brother.
Thanks for coming out to the.
Yeah. Love you big time.
You know,
and all the fans out there, love y'all big time.
Well, the bus is rolling to a stop. Thank you so much to our guests this week, and don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.